Well, thank you very much, and it is a privilege to be here this morning. And again, as I mentioned at Pastor Steve's ordination service, Forward has been very formative in my spiritual years, and the Lord has used this congregation certainly to disciple me and Rhonda, and to encourage and direct us in ministry and effectiveness, we pray. We served here back from 1979 to 1982, and I think it's important to say sometimes, you know, that we underplay congregations sometimes and their role in just encouraging and discipling pastors and youth pastors and leaders who go through your midst. And so I want to say thank you to the church family here this morning for just loving Rhonda and I, loving our family. We had a rich time here together. Paul Kerr was the pastor here, and Forward has had an amazing legacy. And so it is so encouraging this morning just to be reminded of the faithfulness of the Lord in being a sending church. We were just at Heritage College and Seminary, their graduation yesterday. Our regional offices are in the school there. And it was just interesting. They graduated 75 students, one of the largest graduations they've ever had. The school is back on solid ground again, doing a great job. But at the ceremony, they had the Dr. Jack Scott Award that was given out, and it reminded me of Dr. Scott. He used to pastor here way back and taught me in seminary. Dr. Hal McMain taught me in seminary. I'm on the phone to Paul Kerr just a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, he was pastor here, continuing to serve up at Emmanuel and Barrie. I was talking yesterday to Bill Thornton, talking with him. He's on our regional board. Bill and Heather served here at the church. God has used Forward Baptist Church. And God is continuing to use Forward Baptist Church. I want to say thank you for your support to us as a region. You faithfully give to us. We have right now 30 churches under 3 years old. We just came back from a church planting conference with 23 of our church planters. And if you could get the chance that I do to go visit these church plants and see hearts and lives changed. Just a week ago, I was at Matt Naismith's church in Guelph, Church of the City, and they had four baptisms at the church there. And to hear the testimony of people's lives who've been transformed by the gospel of Christ, but you need to connect the dots. Because of your support for us, we are able to support these new church plants. They need our support. They need our prayers. They need our financial support. And because of your faithful gifts to us, you are reaping a harvest for Christ. And so we want to say thank you for that. And we do feel your partnership with us. I mean, without the Lord, we can do nothing. And certainly the more we can collaboratively work together as churches, we can reach the 15 million people of our region for the Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you on this 97th anniversary. I came from Springville. We were there for almost 30 years. And I think they're at their 182nd or something like that. Really, though, it's amazing just to reflect on the goodness of God in carrying a church family, effectively proclaiming the gospel, sending out missionaries and sending out church leaders and pastors, continuing to preach the gospel, and then having the renewal and the revitalization to continue to do that very thing in the years ahead. So it is a privilege to be here this morning, and I do count it an honor, and thank you for the opportunity. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 3. And I want to do this message on open doors. This is something I often do in our churches if I travel around. It was during the spring of 1999 that Pastor Martinez, who's a leader down in Haiti, had called me and wanted me to come and preach at a conference that was taking place in Cabaret in Haiti. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to go, but underneath there were all of these underlying fears that were leading me to say no. I mean, as I thought about Haiti, I know it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's the land of malaria and voodoo and poverty and political unrest and machetes and primitive washroom facilities, hardly any hot water of all, and scariest of all, It's got the largest tarantulas you've ever seen. And I remember going down there, and Jenny Montgomery, who was one of our missionaries down there, we were going for dinner at a tent. She was way in the mountain area of Haiti, and she took a bamboo, long kind of stick with her with a flashlight. I said, "What's with the bamboo stick?" She said, "Well, I use it to move the tarantulas off the pathway." And so, you know, as a man, and I'm secure in my manhood, I went behind her and followed her along. And sure enough, these tarantulas, they're huge, and they jump. They jump, these things. Anyway, I'm here to tell you, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go from a human perspective. And while I was going through all of this in my mind, I thought, well, I'll phone Andy Atkins. He's at Emmanuel International. George Middleton started that ministry, and I know Forward's had a big impact on the Middletons' lives. And I phoned over to Andy at Emmanuel, and I said, "Andy, I really don't want to go on this mission trip." He goes, "Well, tell me why." So I have to explain all my reasons. At the end of it all, he said, "You know, Bob, I've got a word from the Lord. Why don't you just go?" And so I did. And that trip, it changed my life. It changed my life. When I saw the Haitian believers down there, materially, they have nothing, but spiritually, so just full of the Spirit of God and relying on the Lord. I mean, they have to. And seeing, you know, during the conference, 18 of them getting baptized, and so great, you know, we are at this conference center, and so for the afternoon, they had these baptisms, and all these candidates put on these robes, and we walked through the city of Cabaret, where the night before, there were all kinds of voodoo practices going on, and here we were, like 400 of us with these candidates out in front, and we're singing praises to God and singing hymns, and people in the city knew exactly that these candidates were stepping out for Christ. And it found deliverance over the power of darkness. And we got down to a kind of an area where the river kind of forked, and there was a dam there. And the candidates went in one at a time, and different pastors did the baptisms, and they gave their testimonies. And it was just a fantastic proclamation of the power of the gospel of Christ, a great public demonstration of the power of Christ. And it was such a beautiful thing. It was life-changing. And here's what I want to say this morning, and believe me, I'm preaching to myself more than to you. Here's what I want to say on our anniversary. The transformational phrase in the kingdom of God is always this: "Here I am, Lord, send me." And conversely, the limiting phrase in the kingdom of God is this: "Here I am, Lord, send somebody else." As we come to this text in the book of Revelation, there's a phrase here in verse 8 where we read, "See, I have placed before you an open door." And the word "see" is an emphatic command. Look at this. Notice this. I want you to mark this. Contemplate this. Unlike all the other letters which contain blatant reproofs and rebukes, Jesus' words to the believers at Philadelphia are more about exhortation and motivation and invitation. Jesus is saying it discreetly, and he's saying it diplomatically, but what he's saying is this: look, everybody, all you members of the Philadelphia church, all you individuals who I've changed and I've forgiven and cleansed and now carry my name, I'm placing before you an open door. I am giving you a fantastic opportunity. Don't vacillate. Don't give excuses. Don't shuffle your feet and dilly-dally, but please, for my sake and the expansion of the kingdom's sake, say yes. Say, "Here I am, send me," and go through the door. And so this message is entitled, you know, "Open Doors." And the emphasis, you know, we're all looking at this morning is when the Lord, you know, in my life opens the door, the Spirit of God wants me to have the courage and His strength to go through that door. Step out of the comfort zone of my life, wherever it is, and say, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." Now, We don't know exactly what the door was for the church at Philadelphia. Philadelphia was founded by the king of Pergamum, Attalus Philadelphius II, back in 140 BC. He was a patron of the arts and sciences. Philadelphia was a city of junctions and highways. It acted as a gateway or a doorway to all of the East. And not only was Philadelphia a very strategic location for commerce and business, but King Attalus saw it as a strategic launching point for the Hellenization of the rest of the world, a place to kind of promote and forward and advance the cause of the Greco-Roman world and the Greco-Roman way of life. And so many commentators believe that it was this initiative to utilize Philadelphia as a doorway or a gateway to Hellenize the rest of the world that prompts Jesus to really say, in a sense, forget about King Attalus's door. Forget about the king's desire to use this as a gateway to promote the Greco-Roman way of life. I'm your king, and I'm your Lord, and I'm opening up a door, and I'm opening up a door for you to take the gospel to the rest of the world. See, I'm opening before you an open door. So go through the door and courageously say, yes, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, there's several things out of the text here that I want to kind of highlight this morning as I'm talking to all of us about going through the open doors that the Lord gives to us. Let me give you the first point. Open doors start with the master key, Jesus Christ. They start with the master key, Jesus Christ. Now, master keys allow full and complete access to a facility. Dr. Barry Housen, I grew up with him. He's the dean of students at Heritage College and Seminary in the college there. And Barry was a tennis teacher for years at the Bayview Golf and Country Club at Steeles Avenue in Leslie, a huge facility there. But he had a master key to that facility. And so I lived in Thornhill growing up, and Barry would call me kind of at random times, 9:30 at night, and say, Bobby, do you want to come over to the club, and we can play tennis, we can do anything we want, because I've got a master key. And so I'd ride over there, I'd meet him, we'd put the lights on the tennis court, and then we'd go in the clubhouse, and we'd fire up the deep fryers and have some French fries, and we'd go on the curling rink, and we'd throw some rocks, and we'd hit golf balls into the nets, do whatever we want, because he had a master key entrance to all of the facility, access to every room. Now, you got to stick with me here. Verse 7 is saying and claiming, these are the words of him who holds the key of David. And this is a quote from Isaiah 20 that refers to a prophecy of double fulfillment. We read in Isaiah 20:22 that Eliakim, servant to King Hezekiah, will have placed on his shoulders the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. So Eliakim was a servant or a steward to King Hezekiah. He literally had the keys to Jerusalem and to the temple. He had every access to every place, the key, in a sense, to the city. But the more we read through Isaiah, you realize House of David begins to talk about the city of God and the temple of God and the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is like Eliakim, only his keys, he being the master key, leads to eternal life and to really unlocking the entrance to the kingdom of God and giving access into all the riches of eternity. In John chapter 10, Jesus stands up and says, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And he will come in and out, and he will find pasture. And so there is this first step in open doors, in recognizing that before you and I even think about going through a door, we have to walk through the door of knowing Christ personally. Jesus Christ is the master key, and open doors start with him. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and you've been hearing about Christ, and you've been reading your Bible, and you may be attending Bible studies, or you may just be somebody who's been searching, which is so exciting. But you've never really responded and asked Christ into your heart. And as we talk about opportunities and we talk about stepping out for God and going through these open doors, perhaps the first step for you this morning is that you would receive the master key, Jesus Christ, and step through that door for the first time, knowing him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. And you died on the cross. And now there's this exchange where your righteousness is placed on me and my unrighteousness is placed on you. And I now have this purity only because of you, not of me. You've forgiven and cleansed and washed me. Come into my life and direct me to green pastures. When you make that step of faith, your life turns into color from black and white. And you begin a journey of fulfillment and joy and satisfaction that you never dreamed of. It's not just a ticket to go to heaven when you die. Going through that master key, the Lord Jesus Christ, and coming into fellowship with him, it starts now. And it brings that abundance of life now. And it brings that fulfillment of purpose and desire now. And it sets you on a path of amazing dynamic and incredible fulfillment. Open doors start with the master key, Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to say about open doors this morning, open doors are the sovereign work of the Lord. They are the sovereign work of the Lord. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I wrote in my notes, his will cannot be opposed. His governing of opportunities is unlimited. He can orchestrate openings where you'd least expect. We were at our church in Stouffville, and with all the pressures with the school curriculum and how sometimes public school teachers are not allowed to speak about their faith, for whatever reason, at our high school in the area, God opened this amazing door, and we had all kinds of Youth for Christ workers go in there. We had Bible studies going on. We had events that were happening that were presenting the gospel, and God just gave us an open door. You can't explain it. You can't understand it. It was just one of those things. The sovereign work of God opened that door, and we took it. And so these workers saw people coming to the Lord every year. It was just an amazing thing. Now, it's not the same thing in every community. It's different. It's unique. But here's the bottom line. God is working right now to open doors. And he sovereignly does it. No human, no matter what their position, their power, or prestige, can stop God from opening a door. And so if I now know by the Holy Spirit of God, he is working to open a door. I got problems with this ear thing. My ears are always too small for these things. If I know he's working behind the scenes, working sovereignly to open a door, then I just have to be available and courageously filled with the Spirit of God to discern what those doors are for me. It might be a neighbor, might be some kind of missional initiative the church has. It might be a Sunday school class. It could be something with children. It could be a million different things. Just saying Christ to somebody who we're connecting with over the back fence or at work or whatever it is. But be assured of this, God's opening doors every day. And so my role in following Christ is to discern where those open doors come for me and to take those doors and go through them. Paul's second missionary journey, he tries to sail to Asia, but we read in the text he's forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Let's sail to Asia. And they start to go there, and God closes the door. You're not going there. And then they turn the ship and say, well, let's try to sail to Bithynia. But again, the Spirit forbids them to go to Bithynia. He shuts the door. Shuts the door to Asia. Shuts the door to Bithynia. And then we read later on in the text that Paul has a vision. They go to Troas, and a man of Macedonia, you know, calls out, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the door opens for Paul to literally take the gospel to Europe for the first time, and we're here this morning because of that open door in the New Testament of Paul's second missionary journey. So God closes doors, but he sovereignly opens doors. Daryl Dash is doing a church plant just over here at Liberty Village. And you know Liberty Village in Toronto. I mean, these are high-rise condos, sophisticated. How are they going to get in and connect with people? And Nathan Fullerton, who had worked there for a while, he's now transitioned. He was a church planting intern there. And Nathan had was telling me, you know, it's interesting how God opens doors, because Nathan has this love for board games. Now, I don't like board games. I like golf, I like tennis, I like fishing. Rhonda loves board games. So we need marriage counseling about board games, no board games. Board games. So Nathan gets online at the church, and he's putting on Kijiji board games that he's buying and selling, and people are coming to his apartment. Yeah, I'll buy that board game, I'll do that. And then he creates kind of this online community of people who know nothing about why he's there or anything about the church at Liberty Village. And now they're coming over to his condo, they're playing board games, and they're connecting, and he's building relationships with people who live in places that you'd never be able to get into from an earthly perspective, but God opens up this weird door of board game connection whereby he's able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Board games of all things. Who would ever dream of such a thing? God opens doors. And he's working right now, folks. And he's working in my life, and he's working in your life. What are the open doors that God is presenting to you and urging you by the Spirit of God to go through? They start with the master key, Jesus Christ. And open doors are the sovereign work of the Lord. Here's one. Number three, open doors come to those with little strength. Isn't that interesting? Open doors come to those with little strength. Verse 8, I know you have little strength. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. It's interesting that as you read the book of Revelation, the antagonists are always bigger and larger and more intimidating than the main characters. These saints in these churches are fighting people like Caesar, the massive empire of Rome, the seat of Satan. They're up against characters like Jezebel, that wicked queen killing God's prophets at will and promoting Baal. They're up against Balaam, that deceitful prophet of God who goes over to the dark side and seeks to curse God's people on behalf of the king of Moab. We're in the Lord of Rings. You know that series, that film series? You know, we're like little hobbits. And we go against these powers that are so much greater than we are. And yet God's given us this mission. And he's given us the gospel. And he's given us this commission. And we're to be his ambassadors. But we know that there are always forces way more intimidating and really way more powerful than we are, except we're in Christ. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so I'm just speaking to all of us this morning. Look, I'm 60 years old. I'm tired. Man, I'm tired. I got gray hair, and, I'm fighting that traffic back and forth, and, I'm getting fat. And, you get weary. Don't you get weary? You know, I can come to the place where I'm like, you know what? Let Pastor Steve, he's younger than me. Let the younger, you know what? I'm too old, and I'm just getting tired, and I'm just getting weary in it all. And you know what? I just need to give it all over to somebody else with more vim and more vigor, and I'm just going to step out and disengage. But guys, open doors come to us with little strength. And the beauty and the irony of it is, when you're tired and of little strength, you have a propensity to now fall on the Lord for his strength. I think when I was younger, you kind of go forward by nature on your own strength, which is fleshly and wrong. As you get older and you get weary in well-doing, you realize, well, you know, there's just no way I can do this. I'm just so weary, but God's opened up this door. So now you just fall on the Lord. You hold him. You rely in the Spirit of God more and more, and you go through the door as weary as you are. See, the problem is the Lord says to me, Bobby, you're not done until you're dead. Last time I checked, I'm not dead yet. But these opportunities come to us when we have little strength. I remember being on a mission trip to Antigua, of all places, in the Caribbean. And so we're down there doing teaching on small groups and discipling. I was with some guys from Emmanuel International. Richard McGowan was there, and they were doing projects with the churches. And it was a crazy, busy time. And we were out speaking like twice a day and traveling all over that island, all over the place. And we were headed to our last meeting at the church. I'm in the back of the Jeep. Richard's driving. I'm like, Richard, let's just get there because, you know what, we'll do that session. By God's grace, he'll give us the strength to do it. I'm just so weary. And then, you know what, we get to go home. And so while we're driving, we come up against this kind of little caravana thing going. I don't know, it was some kind of little festival thing, and it was a local thing, and people were dancing, and they were kind of celebrating whatever, and the church wasn't that far away, but we were getting caught in the traffic, and I'm in the back of the Jeep. Richard, just get through this. Let's just get there. I'm so tired. I'm so weary. And then one guy came up to the window of the Jeep, and he knocks on the window, and he's kind of got that Rastafarian look, and he's smoking something, and it's not a cigarette. And Richard puts down the window. Hey, how you doing? And I'm in the back. Richard, you can't talk to anybody. Let's just get there. I'm so tired. And the guy, you know, takes a long drag, and he blows it in the Jeep, you know, and hey, man, how are you doing? And Richard gets talking to him fine. And why are you guys here? And anyway, long story short, the next thing I hear Richard saying, well, get in the Jeep and come with us. And I'm in the back. I'm just dying back there. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. A guy comes in. He sits beside me, you know, takes a long drag and blows it in my, you want some? You know, I'm like, no, after. Anyway, we get to the church. We do our thing. I go home. A year later, talking on the phone to Richard, he said, hey, Bobby, I just need to tell you, remember that guy we got talking to at the Jeep? That was our last session. I go, yeah. Remember your attitude? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're pretty tired, pretty cranky. I'm like, yeah. That guy has not stopped going to the church since we took him. And that church family is loving him, and things are falling away from his life. He doesn't know the Lord yet, but it's going to happen any day. And he's just finding a brand new family, a place of welcome and connection and love that he's never known in his life. And that was a rebuke to me, to remind me that God sometimes does his greatest work when we feel the weakest. And when we're the weariest and we rely on God all the more, we go through those open doors, and it's amazing what he accomplished. Number four, open doors come as a result of faithfulness. Verse 8, I know your deeds, Jesus says. I know you've kept my word and not denied my name. I know that you've kept my command and endured patiently. And so there's no magic trick to this. It's just the opportunities come to us while we remain faithful with what God's given us. And however small or unnoticed by the world or other people, if we just remain faithful and steadfast and immovable in that area, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and we just keep our eyes on the Lord, and we just keep serving, God brings further door openings. And he pushes us to newer heights of effectiveness. And at times when we're serving and we feel all alone and the work is going nowhere, God's doing his greatest work. And it's up to us just to be faithful, to continue, just to be steadfast, just be faithful. Not earth-shattering, just be faithful. wherever God's placed us, to go through those doors. And as we do that, there's this matriculation effect that takes place, and God ultimately takes us to heights of effectiveness that we never dreamed possible. I love the illustration of that Chinese bamboo tree. I just have to bring that up because it speaks so much about just being faithful and persevering. The Chinese bamboo tree. You plant the seed of the Chinese bamboo tree, you water it and fertilize it, and after a year, nothing happens. And then you water it and fertilize it, and after 2 years, nothing happens. And then you water and fertilize it for 3 years, nothing happens. 4 years, nothing happens. You plant the seed, you water and fertilize, and there's nothing visually happening at all. And then in the fifth year, in 90 days, the Chinese bamboo tree grows 60 feet tall. Now you ask yourself, how long does it take to plant the Chinese bamboo tree? It takes 5 years. And all I'm trying to tell you is, listen, we're serving the Lord and you don't see anything happening. And so we get this wrong conclusion. Well, I'm working and I'm faithfully sharing Christ and I'm involved in this ministry, but I don't see any fruits. But under the soil, God is doing a work. And God is changing a heart. And God is going to bring fruit. Just be faithful. Don't give up. Continue to give the word. Continue to say a testimony. Continue to give. Continue to step out of the boat of our comfort. And just continue to live for Him. And He will eventually bring a harvest. And just the reality of that mustard seed that goes in the ground, it starts so small, and it's just, you can't see visually anything happening, but underneath the soil, God is doing an incredible thing. And in time, up comes the sprout, and it starts to grow. And eventually, this huge tree is grown over decades and decades, and birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And it has this sort of outreach to the entire kind of biological system. But it takes time. And it often looks like nothing is happening. Forward Baptist Church, you changed my life. You have changed many, many people's lives. You know what? Right now, you're changing people's lives. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Stay faithful like you are. And ministering in downtown Toronto, it's hard. And it's so diversified. It's unique. It's difficult. It's not like being up in the suburb. It's not like that. And so just hang in there. And I know you are. Continue to lean into the Lord. Continue to have these missional initiatives. Continue to go through the open doors that God is sovereignly bringing to you. Jesus says it. See? I have placed before you an open door. May God have us respond. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we are so grateful for the Church of Jesus Christ. And we stop and praise you for your amazing goodness to this local church here. And the countless lives, not just locally and regionally and globally, that have been changed because of the ministry of this church. Only eternity will show that to us. Help us today to resolve to praise you for your goodness and to trust you for an even more effective future. We believe you that you will continue to bless the ministries of this church. And thank you for those stories that sometimes are small and seemingly inconsequential, but we know that eternally have amazing impact of the furtherance of the gospel in this place, in these days. Bless Pastor Steve, the staff here. Thank you for them. And may you be glorified, and may your people here be encouraged and unified to be ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would walk through those doors and say, here I am, send me. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.